Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
We need to ask ourselves occasionally, what's the main thing that I'm talking about?
Dr. Gregory Jantz on Focus on the Family Minute, sharing how God doesn't want you to give up on your kids even when you're facing some challenges with them.
And most of the time, am I talking about the negative? And believe me, there's lots of negative and a lot of it's true. So it's easy to go that way. But the other vantage point is, can I see how God's at work?
Right.
And can I see
a better question?
Yes. And every day, honestly, if we look, oh, God is at work. We're seeing it every day. And we need to keep a list of God's at work. And God's at work in our teenagers. Mm-hmm. Keep in relationship with them.
Yeah.
Do not give up on our kids.
Preach it.
Hear more from Dr. Gregory Jantz on overcoming family trauma today at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900 or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
The Autobahn team services and repairs Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, Audis, Volvos, Range Rovers, Acuras, Lexus, and Sprinter minivans. The Autobahn can do the smog check you need and smog repairs on vehicles 2004 or newer better than anyone in the county. The Autobahn has the latest equipment to diagnose your car and can do most warranty work. Why not maintain your vehicle to keep it running longer and running at peak performance? For better mileage on your fuel consumption and a better performing vehicle, call the Autobahn. For smog checks, service, or repairs, make an appointment today. 805-434-2200. That's 805-434-2200.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Today we're going to talk about another food, and this is one you've eaten. It's an American dish, a combination of leftovers. Neither its date of origin nor its originator is known for certain. Some say it was invented by an Irish waiter in San Francisco. Others that it was created by a cook in a mining camp. Various sources credit as many restaurateurs and chefs in big cities and small towns coast to coast. The most reliable sources indicate that the dish was first concocted during the 1890s. In a moment, you're going to hear what the culinary scholars have to say on the subject. But again, this is an American food. This is one you have eaten. Regarding its creation, one scholar cites a mining camp cook. Supposedly, the cook was required to serve a late meal, which he prepared from leftovers. Leftovers are the key to this dish, for though locations and dates and individuals are disputed among the experts, it is generally agreed that this particular concoction was first comprised of culinary cast-offs. Another story involves an Irish waiter. He was working at a San Francisco restaurant. A large party had arrived at the restaurant as it was closing, and this waiter, not wishing to lose the latecomers, promised a specialty which was not on the menu. Of course, there was no specialty. So what the waiter did was to run out to the kitchen, scrape scraps off every unwashed plate he could find, and mix those and serve them. In 1942, yet another expert released these findings. The dish was born in Chicago during the 1890s. It was the product there of a chef privately employed by a wealthy Chicago importer. In a few days, the importer would be entertaining a foreign diplomat, so he, the importer, consulted the chef. It seems the visiting dignitary was also a gourmet, and so far had been unimpressed by the most sumptuous American banquets. A new cuisine must be created to please him. After careful consideration and much experimentation, the chef came up with a new dish of especially combined leftovers. Here we are, back again to leftovers. But what do you know? At the banquet, the diplomat was delighted. The dish caught on. Some subsequent scholars, while corroborating what you have just heard, insist that the banquet took place in New York, but that seems to be moot. August 29, 1896, was the probable date. But regardless of all these discrepancies, we've not been able to clear them all up. But regardless of all these differences of opinion among those who claim to know, all agree on one thing. The cuisine in question was created just prior to the 20th century, and it is a genuinely American invention. And, yes, originally it was comprised of leftovers. Now, what is this American food comprised of leftovers which grew up and grew popular here? So popular, the Chinese first heard of it from us, U.S. Chop suey. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing candidate forums. This is a different format than I usually do. We're not taking questions. I give the candidates questions, I ask the candidates each to provide questions. They give me a list of questions. We go back and forth on the questions. We have candidates from the same race, and they are answering questions so that the public can know how they feel. We also allow them to have interactions after they have both talked about a question if they want to continue to discuss their view of that question. This week we're doing Paso Robles School District board races. Next week will be, 1 week will be District 1 at the Paso Robles City Council. The second will be first one's District 3. Thursday's District 1. We have all three candidates on both days. And today we have Lauren McCoy and Tim Gerhart in the studio answering questions. I do want to remind people, I'm an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Yesterday and today, I published a very important story regarding government documents that were released regarding the former city manager of San Luis Obispo. I suggest you read them. But today, we have Lauren McCoy and Tim Gerhart. And Tim, it's your turn to answer first. The old Georgia Brown site, what should be done with the property?
Thank you. Well, I'm not sure if there's an actual fault underneath there. And I've been told it would cost something like $800,000 to dig down and find out. And there's no way we have money to do that. Now, selling it, depending on who wants it, we can ask some pretty heavy money. But there is a problem in education that's transaction or trans... Ah, It has to do with the fact that new teachers, new police people, new fire people can't afford the housing. And so the question also has come up in the city council. I know one is Chris Bausch has been talking for years about the need for some lower priced housing for that group of people. So I would suggest we look into the possibilities of a low cost housing for that. The question I've had, though, is it true that we have a major fault underneath? Of course, it didn't go when we've had big earthquakes in this area. So I'm wondering if there is one, if it's dead or not. If it's functional and safe, we have a gold mine there. If we need to sell it to make money for the general fund in the district, that's another option we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim. And Lauren, I'm going to ask you the same question. The old Georgia Brown site, for those who do not know, the school was shut down. It is not active this year because of multiple issues, including that there is a fault below. What should be done with the property?
Well, I don't think that we need to sell the property. I don't think that we should allow it to stay vacant for too long either, and to continue to be run down. I think it needs to be fixed up. I believe that it would be amazing property to use for CTE, which is career technical education programs, or allow nonprofits in our community that have student-based programs to rent it out for after-school sports and or learning development opportunities, life skill trainings, something that will be of long-term use to our students and families to set them up for life success.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And Lauren, I'm going to ask you to do this one first. Should there be restrictions on displaying flags and banners in public schools? Let's discuss both the campus and inside the classroom.
I do believe that there should be restrictions on that policy. We talked about it last. We've been talking about it for a month. More than a month. But yes, I think that the only flag that should be flown in classrooms or banners or whatever, you know, I think it should be only the American flag and the California flag. If teachers need to show other flags for educational purposes, by all means, they can share it in a PowerPoint presentation or some other way. But if we allow one flag, then we have to allow the others, and it would just be easier to just have our American flag. I'm a proud daughter of a Marine and Air Force serviceman, and he was also a pastor, but I don't push those flags to be flown in our classrooms and banners to those flags to be posted. So I just feel like we need to make sure that we set the boundary so that everything is just all-inclusive. And it's the American flag. We're all Americans, so let's just keep it at that.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And Tim, the same question. Should there be restrictions on displaying flags and banners in public schools, both on the campus and in the classroom?
I agree with my opponent, and I have said this publicly as well. The American flag and the Californian flag are political in recognizing the existence of things that we care very much for. We all care very much for. Originally, the other flags that ended up in our classrooms were there to support a group of students that had been taken advantage of, I would say. So basically, there are two different things here. I say let's support the minorities, whatever they are, in a more effective way that doesn't conflict with the traditions of the American and Californian flags in the classroom. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim. And Tim, I'm going to ask you to answer this one first. What do you think is the primary responsibility for a district trustee?
Okay. Number one is the safety of not only the students, but of the teachers and the other people that work in the district. That's number one. And as you know, too many times throughout the United States, somebody has gotten in there with a gun and we've had another disaster. And we've been working on different ways of handling that. But the other things too, safety is number one, but making sure you have an excellent education to go out after high school in a direction that's good for the student, good for the community, and our country. This is what it's all about. But to do that, we have to make sure that we have economic viability to be able to help the kids learn. Without that, things tend to crash. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim. And Lauren, what do you think is the primary responsibility? I know that's not where we're at.
Yeah, we're there.
Okay. Is the primary responsibility for a district trustee?
In no particular order, definitely safety is always first, right? To govern in the best interest of the education needs of our entire district would be one. Ensuring that our school district is responsive to the values, beliefs, and priorities of our community. Ensuring policies and practices of the district support all students individually and collectively that have appropriate opportunities to achieve academic success. Developing the annual budget to run the school system, setting school policies, hiring and evaluating our superintendent, setting the standards for achievement in the school. I feel like as a trustee, something that I'm passionate about is hearing the voices of the community, the parents and the staff and the faculty, and addressing issues that come up in that regard and supporting them as best I can and asking the right questions and being available. So those to me are important priorities.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And this one goes to you first. Given Assembly Bill 1955, what are your thoughts on schools informing parents of how their child identifies as a gender? And also, should schools notify parents of their child's use of healthcare facilities?
When it comes to anyone's child, they need to know everything. Nothing should ever be withheld or hidden, period. And no one anywhere should be giving minors health care without approval from their parents or guardians. So absolutely not. I don't care what the situation is. Those situations have nothing to do, in my opinion, with district, teachers, school, education. And when things like this arise, it should be immediately communicated to the parent and or guardian. I do realize that certain situations may create an unsafe experience for that child. Those things can be handled with care, but it is not up to the school, the government, the state, anyone else except for who those students belong to make those proper health decisions for their students. And if they're confused about something, that's something that needs to be brought up to the parents and guardians again. And so I feel as though our government is trying to take things away from parents, and that's something that I stand on. I stand on parental rights 100%. I will exhaust it until I cannot exhaust it anymore. So that's something that I definitely do not agree with.
You're very clear there. Tim, I'll give you the same question. Given Assembly Bill 1955, what are your thoughts on schools informing parents of how their child identifies regarding their gender and anything other than their biological sex? And should schools notify parents of a child's use of health care facilities?
I think that's a decision that is framed in the California Constitution about privacy of the student. The question, though, in my mind, and originally, you know, I'm a parent too, and as my cohort has mentioned, then I wanted to know everything. But when my boy had made decisions, I didn't get a chance to have input until he was an adult. But bottom line is, it depends on the case. If it's something like a pregnancy or something, and the girl is, and the boy, if they're a group or a couple, that might be a danger too, if they're talking suicide and such. So the decision to say should go not only to the parents, but to make sure it's safe to have the parents in the discussion might be necessary. So it's not a 100% do it this way bit. It's not a law that is an effective thing to do. You have to look at the circumstances of what the heck's going on.
So
we're going to take a word from our sponsors, and we're going to be back with more. We're going to stay on this discussion topic, and they can discuss it back and forth for a moment, and then we'll go to our next question.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing higher and reversing earlier declines as investors digested the latest reading on inflation. The consumer price index for August matched the previous month's reading up 0.2%, and annually, CPI improved to 2.5%. However, core CPI, excluding food and energy, edged up from July, rising 0.3%, and there was no improvement in the core annual reading at 3.2%. The Fed is now expected to slash interest rates 0.25% instead of the more aggressive 0.5% that some had been expecting. Tech was the best performing sector today. The Dow winners, American Express, Amazon, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Procter & Gamble, United Health Group, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow rising 125 points, the NASDAQ higher by 370, S&P 500 up 59. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hey, Donald Trump Jr. here. Biden is dead set to fulfill his agenda before leaving office. Translation, more money printing and soaring inflation. Is gold the answer to protect your savings and retirement? To find out, get a free info kit from Birch Gold Group by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. Don't let inflation wreck your IRA or 401k. Act now to secure your future. Text SHELTER to the number 989898 for your free info kit from Birch Gold.
Paid for by Birch Gold Group.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Sometimes it's what you've been waiting for, and sometimes it's unexpected. You're pregnant. Tree of Life Pregnancy Care Center is here to help. Services include pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, maternity and baby items, post-abortion support, and lots of helpful information. It's all confidential, and it's all free. There's a Tree of Life in San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, and Paso Robles. Visit our website at treeoflifepsc.com or call us at 805-543-6000. That's 805-543-6000. Tree of Life.
When you need a plumber, chances are you need one right away. That's why Red's On-Time Plumbing is available 24/7 with same-day service. Red's On-Time Plumbing has a 5-star rating on Google. Get a great plumber and quick. If you're planning a project, Red's has convenient online booking and always gives free estimates. Ask about a $1,000 SoCal rebate on high-efficiency tankless water heaters. Schedule now at ontimeplumbingpro.com or call Red's On-Time Plumbing at 805-4255. 466-6188.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Over the next probably 2-3 weeks, we're doing candidate forums. This week, we're finishing up on the school board. Next week will be the city council races. Today, I have Lauren McCoy and Tim Gearhart. They're running for School District 5 for the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. We asked a question. They both answered it, and Lauren wanted to have another. I'm going to give you the question again. If she's already answered it, she's responding to his comment. Given Bill 1955, what are your thoughts on schools informing parents of how their child identifies other than their biological sex and notifying parents of the children's use of healthcare facilities?
So one, I just wanted to ask a follow-up question, I suppose. But so, Tim, are you saying that minors have rights and parents don't need to know what's happening with their child? Because you mentioned that you didn't have a say in your son's life or his choices until he was an adult. And to me, charity begins at home. I care about every aspect of the choices that my child makes, whether I agree with them or not. We'll move forward in how that best suits our family dynamic.
Well,
but
I would be glad to answer that. Number one, yes, children have rights. It's not me saying it. It's the Constitution and the California Constitution that is there. But first off, I don't think a child before the age of 14 or 15 should make important decisions. They're just not there yet. But on the other hand, the parents' rights are paramount as well. So sometimes you need a, call it a judge or a referee to see, that's why we have counselors and all these other people in the district to handle helping decide if the child and the parent can handle this outside the district. And quite frankly, it would be best for, in my opinion, both parties if it could be handled safely outside the school district.
Well, I do beg to differ. I don't feel like I need to co-parent with a district, a state, or a government when it comes to my child. I'm the person that has been entrusted with them to raise them appropriately. And those decisions need to be made between me and their parent, their other parent, their family. It has zero to do with school unless I choose to incorporate school resources for that.
Thank you very much. Tim, this one is... You want to respond again?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
That's really true with most people. We do have one senior that committed suicide because his parents found out that he was gay. he found out, or the parents found out, from the school district. So I don't know. It all depends on what it is, who the kid is, and if the parents in whomever's decision think it's best that they wait and handle it in a different format.
And there's also several students who have been groomed by teachers because they went to a teacher and said, I feel a certain way. And then that teacher told them, well, you're probably in the wrong body. You need to be a different gender.
Oh, stop. That is
100% true. I've even talked to them. So you cannot tell me that it's not true. And it's something that's not been talked about, but it's happened. So therefore, when it comes to stuff like that, a district, a teacher, a counselor should not tell a student what they need to do and how they need to do it. They need to refer back to parents.
I agree with you on that aspect. It should not be a teacher doing that. But to say that they're grooming them, that is a political thing, and we are nonpartisan.
We are nonpartisan, but that doesn't mean it's not happening.
Oh, God.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you both, and let's get to the next question. Tim, you're going first this time. If it becomes necessary to cut the budget, what should be cut first?
Yeah. The way it looks in California, we're losing population. And a lot of people are holding off on having children for a host of reasons. So, the question is, we have at least two plots of land. What are we going to do with them? Here is a concern of mine. There is a California law that says that if there's public property owned by the district, a vacant one that's not being used, they can go ahead and claim it and use it for their own schools or preference or whatever. I don't want that to happen. So we have to come up with a general direction, and the lawyers and everything are there to help us do that, but to protect the land because we might be able to use it for different things for the kids. And that's what's important.
Thank you very much, Tim. Lauren, same question. If it becomes necessary to cut the budget, what should be cut first?
Well, first, I think we need to look at waste. There's a lot of fluff in there. The budget needs to be more transparent. Then we need to look at cutting programs. Cuts should be based on input from the entire staff, so maybe submitting an anonymous survey to the staff, the community, law, and needs. Any personal cut should be made last. We spend a lot of money on consultants for the district, luxury buses, for example, and we should train our coaches and teachers to drive buses and give them an incentive so that they can drive for events. I know Templeton just cut their budget by $1.5 million by getting rid of fluff. So we just really need to take a look at stuff like that because, I mean, in Mr. Gearhart's tenure, two fiscal crises since 2012 have taken place. So we really need to make sure that we are looking at that.
Tim, do you want to respond?
Oh, yeah. First off, I just talked with transportation the other day, and they suggest to everybody that has a question to call them, and you'll get the straight dope. Okay, so number one, I have the experience of being on the board when the state cut money to our district. Let me tell you, the first thing they did was cut transportation, cut out programs, and it just went down And programs like different parts of PE, the arts went out the window. It was really bad. But what was worse was that our good teachers decided to cut out and go elsewhere. And during the first, I call, financial disaster, we went ahead and lost students as well. And test scores. That year, we had the worst test scores in the county. Okay, the second one, after we rebuilt what we had, and the state came in with a better balance, we were able to get back on the road, but we had not brought in a lot of the other programs that were viable and available to us unless we went ahead with the community in the different programs available there, which we did, and it worked pretty well, and we were able to keep our sports, and that was important to us.
So, Tim, can you just speak to the fact about the Chris Williams debacle and how you were serving on the board during that time? So how was fiscal responsibility handled? Because that was thousands and thousands of dollars lost by our stakeholders, and our district was in a huge crisis. So how would you being on the board be better? Like, how would you better manage that situation?
Because I know what happened and how it happened. And the reason why the primary, in my opinion, and this is backed up by the superintendent, the county superintendent of schools, Chris Williams was a first-time superintendent. He hired all of his friends from down in the valley, overhired, and went over like that. Did you know that 80% of the income and the cost of a school district is paying for people, teachers, bus drivers? It just goes on and on. And the superintendent himself took a 4% cut.
So when those
Hold
things
on,
were
let
happening,
me finish.
Go ahead.
And the bottom line is, if we get another financial problem, the best, most effective thing that they're going to want to do is cut people. It happened before. It will happen again. So that's where it's at. We're trying to save the people that are absolutely critically important for the kids. That's the teachers and support staff.
Now, can I?
Yes.
Okay, so back to my question. When he was hiring all of those people, isn't it, we already discussed the topic of the primary responsibilities of a trustee, and that's evaluating the superintendent, one of them. So why wasn't that evaluated? Why would you not question, why is this man hiring all of these people and where is the money going?
The board did. The board did. And I was one of the ones that had some real concern, along with the, many people in the community, about what the heck was going on. Now, in fact, some of us talked to the grand jury about the concerns we had, and there was an investigation.
And what became of that investigation?
They identified shortcomings, and those shortcomings, the board directed to rectify them.
And how long went by before there were enough questions and complaints for that to be looked at? Like, you know, was it, because this went on for a really long time.
Too long. The bottom line is, finally, at the new election, we had enough people that were willing to talk to him about, well, I was going to say firing him, but to have him move out.
Thank you both, and I would like to get to the next question. It is now to Lauren. What consequences do you recommend for drug and alcohol possession in and intoxication on campus? We're going to have to take a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with the next question.
The Creston Community Church will be hosting its second annual Fall Women's Ministry Conference October 18th and 19th. Deanna Ramsey, who has spoken at Hume Lake, is going to take the ladies on a journey of being rooted in faith and grace. She will show how God loves us and has plans for us. Dinner on Friday, breakfast and lunch Saturday. The Creston Community Church is on O'Donovan Road. For more information, contact Becky Nunez at beckynunez0123@gmail.com or go to crestonchurch.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has the parts and expertise to repair any overhead door. From replacing weather stripping or garage door spring repair to programming garage door openers, their service teams are available for prompt dispatch to your home or business. Quality products and superior service. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to hammondoverheaddoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hi, Jean, this is Ann. Remember my parents were so stressed out when they couldn't pay their bills? We are so relieved. We found Attorney Rossi on Spring Street in Paso. He knows his stuff. He explained all of my parents' financial alternatives for free.
Rossi didn't charge you?
No charge. Rossi offers a free meeting to help guide people who have money problems. He says good people get into tough situations and need help. He said there are solutions to getting people out of debt, ways to save people's homes from foreclosure, and sometimes cancel tax debt and stop lawsuits and stop harassing creditor calls. Rossi says about a quarter of his clients don't need legal help to deal with their overwhelming bills.
Is he a debt consolidation attorney?
No, he said debt consolidation is usually a poor choice, but he does help clients settle lawsuits out of court. Sometimes it means filing bankruptcy, and sometimes there's other ways.
Rossi Law is right here in Paso on Spring Street across from Wells Fargo, and he offers a free initial consultation.
Hey there, this is Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Hey, listen, I got an offer I got to tell you about. Listen, for the month of September, come on down to the shop. We're offering an engine oil service, an alignment check, full digital vehicle inspection, which includes a coolant system analysis, a brake fluid analysis, battery and system charging analysis. And listen, this is all for the low price of $299.99. So book your appointment today at shiftinggears805.com or come on down to the shop at 1621 North River Road right here in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Beely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. We have two more questions, so we're going to try to get through these two quickly. I have Lauren McCoy and Tim Gearhart, candidates for the Paso Robles School District Board. Lauren, let's go to this last question, which was, what consequences do you recommend for drug and alcohol possession intoxication on the school campuses?
Well, first of all, it should not be tolerated on campuses at all. They're putting other people in danger, staff, faculty, students, and it's just not right. If they are repeat offenders, obviously there should be something on something done, you know, because they need like drug and alcohol addiction counseling, something like that. They should be randomly drug tested. Their parents need to be involved every step of the way. Drug awareness is super imperative. We have implemented dogs coming on campuses and searching for drugs, but I feel like that's just really not enough. We have to make it so that there's just zero tolerance for any of that behavior whatsoever, and highlight, if we even have to go as far as highlighting deaths of young people that have been in drug and alcohol addiction, and making them take classes with people that have destroyed their lives and their families' lives due to these substance abuses, then I think we should even go that far. But it needs to be a zero tolerance.
Thank you, Lauren. Same question, Tim. What consequences do you recommend for drug and alcohol possession and intoxication on campus?
Number one, it has been well documented and formulated at the district level what to do, usually coming out of the high school. And that is, number one, a warning, a ticket, the police are there, it's written up, and of course the parents are involved in this behavior. Number three, to go ahead and if it happens again, remove that student and send them to the county program. Now, the county program led by Dr. James Brescia is very, it's very a good program. And we've taken tours down there as a board and went through how the process goes. And to get back into our regular school, they have certain things they have to accomplish and prove that they are ready for that. Now, if they don't do it, they don't come back till it's done. Done.
Thank you very much, Tim. And this question you get to answer first. The high price of housing in San Luis Obispo County has caused many teachers, new teachers, to look for other job opportunities elsewhere. What can the school board do to retain these excellent teachers?
Well, Paso Robles Teachers Association has an easy answer for that, and that is give them more money so they can rent or buy. It's a wonderful idea, but not very negotiable. We just don't have that ability. We can, though, go ahead and offer low-cost housing. And again, we have the land in two sites where low-cost housing can be built. Also, the community has a program that they've offered to the district. And let's see, Council Member Chris Bausch has been very strong on this, and I agree with him on this. Basically, we do need to invest, and the community needs it as well for the new fire people and police. So that's one area. Now, looking at the county education office led by Dr. Brescia, he is very actively involved in programs to retain our excellent students, not only our district. It's the same problem across the county. So that's what's going on. I just don't know if it's going to be enough.
Thank you very much, Tim. Lauren, the same question. The high price of housing in San Luis Obispo County has caused many new teachers to look for other job opportunities elsewhere. What can the school board do to help retain these excellent teachers?
Well, in not putting ourselves in fiscal crisis again, I feel as though we really don't have more money to pay. We can barely do what we're doing.
You're right.
But in agreement partially with Mr. Gearhart, I do believe, and I've said it before, that we should offer affordable housing for our teachers. We have lost so many amazing teachers, and each year that number continues to increase. And fact is, not many people can afford to live in this beautiful area on one income. Many people have to have a second job. So, you know, yes, we want you to be fully present as a teacher, but I mean, that's just financially not possible. So if you have to get a second job, you have to do what you have to do. But I think that if we offer affordable housing to our teachers, it will show them that we care and that we want them to stay in our district and that we value what they're bringing to the table.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And we've got about 4 minutes left. And you had a couple, Tim, you had a couple things you still wanted to add to some of the other questions. I'm going to give you a couple minutes right now.
Okay, number one. I believe that if we find the study, but there was a study relatively recently about the fact that many of our families, both mom and dad, work. And this came to a real problem during the COVID situation where they were supposed to be gone and yet the kids were there and shortage of money. So, yeah, one of the things is looking for ways of developing more teachers, and the county school group has gone ahead and offered to pay workers at the school, like, you know, all sorts of people, if they've shown themselves eager to go ahead and go for it, the district, our district, or and the county district will actually pay for most of their college time to get a teaching credential.
So what is that actually? What do, I'm just trying to line up what your comment
was. Dr. Brescia is the one that is working on holding and helping us keep our teachers that are really good. And this is for the five districts in the county.
Okay.
And Lauren, now you have a few minutes to touch on the things that you would also like to touch on.
I think I did just touch on all the things that I wanted to. I just want to encourage people to take what you heard and use it for the better good of our community, our students, and our district, and vote Lauren D. McCoy for Area 5, Paso Robles School Board.
Well, I like Lauren. She, when I've been watching her up there, she's more than a rubber stamp. But on the other hand, I haven't heard Lauren saying anything about the dangers that are facing our kids right now along Niblick and Rosemary. It is a major problem in front of Almond Acres. Now, our district, District 5.
Well, can I speak to that, though? Because,
do it fast.
Yeah, no, I'll do it fast. But for the record, I get a report, an EIR report, every time something like that happens. And every time I do reach out to those parents, I go, I pray for them. I bring the little kids balloons and things like that. So you don't know everything, Tim. You don't know all the back end of things that happen. So just because I may not speak out about it, I speak out about a lot of things. That's, you live on Rosemary, so that's your house. So you get to see that firsthand. But don't speak about what you don't know.
Okay, guys, great debate today. We learned a lot. Tim, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Lauren, thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
And we'll be back tomorrow with more of another school district forum. This one, Leo Castile and Adelita Haitcha. I'm crucifying her name. We will see you then in the next week. Haitcha. Next week will be the city council forum.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.